Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be unto you. We praise God. We say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the Lord, cherisher, sustainer of the world, who cares about all of his creation, especially his human creation. We witness that he's one. There's no partner with him in the rule of the heavens and the earth. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed about 14 centuries ago, is the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Torah, the book that was given to the Jewish people called Jews now, and also mentioned in the Injil, that is the scriptures given to what is known as the Christian world today. The two scriptures our prophet is mentioned in both of them, and he's mentioned in those scriptures, the words of Allah, the words of God in the Quran says that he is the unlettered prophet. The unlettered prophet means that he was not tutored or educated. He had no formal education. No one tutored him. He had no teachers. He had no formal education. He's an unlettered prophet, the prophet mentioned in the scriptures, and he is the one that comes, according to the Quran, to break all the bonds of slavery, to free us from all forms of slavery, all forms of slavery. We pray the prayers and the peace be upon him, as they say in the language of Islam, or the Quranic language. God says, and salute him with the prayers and peace, and do it often. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The prayers and the peace be upon him. We are happy to be here and very pleased to be here in Harrisburg and visiting our growing model community in this southern part of the United States, the New Medina model in Harrisburg. So we congratulate the community here with your imam and your helpers who have been with you from day one, I think. I'm referring to Dr. Ali and the others who worked together to make this possible. It is a growing effort. I see it developing very nicely. A beautiful mess that you have now. Big change from what it was when I was here last. Big change. And I see growth. I see growth. I see growth for the land also. Growth for the center and growth for the land. More animals, many more animals I'm seeing now on the land. And new homes, new houses on the land. We're very much encouraged. Again, we would like to salute you and your leaders and the effort here in New Medina, Harrisburg. We are going to be speaking on community growth and development under obedience to God, or through obedience to God. And where do we begin as Muslims to present this matter? We begin with Muhammad the Prophet himself, prayers and peace be upon him, who was a persecuted man, persecuted by his own hometown people, the people of the city called Mecca. He was persecuted by them. They tried to really get rid of him and his followers. They tried on more than one occasion to actually kill him. And on another occasion, they tortured him, so much so that the reports say that when he was walking, they could hear the sound of the blood in his sandals. As his feet would press upon the sandal, they could hear the sound of the blood. He went away bleeding, They stoned him and told him to leave the city. And he left bleeding. That was from the city called Taif in the mountains. He went there to invite those wealthy people. They were the more wealthy people of Taif in the cooler region there, and where there was, more growth, more agricultural growth, fruit orchards. They were doing better there. He went to invite them to Islam, and they rejected him before they could even hear him out. They wouldn't even hear him out. They rejected him and tortured him, stoned him. The same man eventually had to leave Mecca. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he had to leave Mecca. Mecca had, they boycotted the Prophet and his followers. They refused to sell him anything, sell him and his followers anything. So they barely existed, and it was so hard on them until the people who were old and fragile, many of them just died out. Along with those persons who were fragile was the wife of the Prophet, and at that time the only wife he had, Lady Khadija, she died. May God be pleased with her. She died. And the Prophet finally received an invitation from the people of Medina who had heard about his message. They told him, why should you stay here and suffer like this, be rejected like this? Why don't you come to Medina? There are people there who welcome you. You can come and establish your mission in Medina. The Prophet accepted the invitation to come to Medina, and he went to Medina. And he had to really go out kind of undercover-like, because the Meccans were pursuing him. They were on his trail, and they wanted to kill him before he got to Medina. But Allah's help came and saved him. They were diverted. They thought he was lost. They gave up searching for him. And what protected the Prophet was, as you know, you read in Quran, was a spider's web. He and his companion, Abu Bakr, his friend Abu Bakr, the Siddiq, they had gone into this cave to hide from the Meccans who were pursuing them on the trail after them. And God caused the spider to build a web over the entrance or the mouth of the cave. So when the pursuers came upon that cave, they looked at it, and one of them said, well, he can't be there. He can't be in there because there's a web over the web there. And that's where he was. That's where he and Abu Bakr was. They were in that cave, protected by the spider's web. Finally, he came to Medina. On with his camel, and they were asking him where would he like to stay, with whom would he like to stay, to pick the home or the homeowners that he would like to stay with. And he told them he wherever his camel would stop, he let his camel loose, and he says, wherever my camel stopped, that's where I will stay. So where his camel stopped, that's where he stayed. And the work of building a society, the work of building the Islamic society, the Islamic community, known by all of us as the Ummah. The work of building the Ummah began there. It began upon his arrival in Medina, the city called Medina. And now it is called Medina al-Munawwara. Medina al-Munawwara. The city of the light. Medina means city. That name Medina means city. And it is called Medina al-Munawwara, the city of the light. and it is also called the city of the prophets, so called both. The city of the light and also city of the prophets. Actually, the word is not light, it's emitting light. Light that's coming out in waves, going up, coming out and going all directions. Like, so it really means the city of enlightenment. The city of enlightenment. We know that the prophets had an experience that's reported to us in our holy book. Before coming to Medina, he had an experience. The experience is called the ascension and the travel. The ascension and the travel. And he was taken up by night, according to the words of Allah in the Quran. He was taken up by night up into the seven heavens. And he was shown Adam, the first man, peace be upon Adam, in the first level of the ascension. And he was shown on the second level of the ascension, the prophet Jesus Christ, peace be on him, and John, peace be on him, in the second level. And he was shown the third level, and there was the prophet Joseph, peace be on him. And the fourth level, Idris, called Idris in the Quran, the prophet Idris. And some of the scholars say Idris is Ezekiel of the Bible, but that's not concluded. There's no final word on that. And he was shown the fifth level, and there he saw the prophet Aaron, the brother of Moses. And on the sixth level, he saw there the prophet Moses, peace be on the prophets. And he went to the seventh level, and there he saw the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. And he himself was the eighth. He ascended up through seven levels, and he himself was the eighth one. And God says, an eighth holds up the throne. An eighth holds up the throne. This is Quran, the Holy Quran, Revelation, our holy book. An eighth holds up the throne. The Prophet Muhammad was the eighth of them. Eighth in this picture. And when God caused him to go up to the seventh heaven, then God caused him to be sent in travel, to Jerusalem, where the Dome of the Rock is now. To Jerusalem, where the Masjid, the Dome of the Rock is. And there he descended there. And Allah says, and it was God who took his servant up into the heavens and caused him to make the travel, took him on the travel to the precincts in Jerusalem, sacred precincts in Jerusalem. When he returned from that experience, he was ready. God had finished the preparation on him. He was ready then to be the leader of a new world order. Yes, a new world order. Islam became the new world order. It was a new, completely new ideology, completely new idea of government and society. And it's too much to trace the history of that movement from that early and humble, very simple beginning, maybe. Well, and again, it wasn't a simple beginning. But we know today there are over 1 billion Muslims following that man who was persecuted and chased out of, actually rejected by his own city. But he lived to be successful and victorious, came back into the city, victorious, came back into his hometown, Mecca, victorious, with 10,000 supporters, 10,000 strong supporters. And instead of punishing his enemies who rejected them, God presented him to the enemies and to Muslims and to the world. As we find David, Daoud, presented in the Bible, who when he had the opportunity to punish his enemies, he forgave them. And the Prophet Muhammad forgave his enemies, and he told them if they would accept the peace, he didn't tell them they had to become Muslims. If they would accept the state of peace, that was a new state, that was state of Islam. If they would accept the state of peace, then they would have protection as citizens of that state. If they were Jews, they could continue to be Jews. If they were Christians, they could continue to be Christians. If they were Sabians, another religion that's mentioned in the Quran, they could continue to be Sabians. All they had to do is just respect the state of peace. Be peaceful citizens. Don't try to undermine or bring down the new government or cause trouble for it. That's all they had to do. And he said, let there be no spilling of blood. Let there be no more spilling of blood. All the crimes of the past are forgiven. Let there be no more spilling of blood. This was our prophet. And did he choose to say, well, I'm home now. I'm going to stay here. You can't put me out. No, he told them that he chose to go back to Medina. That's where he would make his home. So he actually went back to Medina, and that's where he lived until he died. And he's in paradise, and he's on earth. He's on earth in every true follower. He's on earth in the Quran, and he's on earth in every true follower. But he, as a person, has gone. He's gone from here, and he's in paradise with God, in the presence of God. Praise be to Allah. Just a little quick reflection or a quick look at how Muhammad came to his big job of establishing a new world order. And the first was a city. And we know even today the most progressive feature or dimension or progression in the building of society is city. That's where you expect the most achievements. Most achievements you find in the city. The people are more built up in the city than they are anywhere else. That's where you find the heaviest burden on the society, the heaviest burden on the government, the most laws, the most activity. That's where you find it, the city. So really the city is really the goal of society, so to speak, isn't it? The aim of the society is to come to that development where you can manage city life, meaning manage people in close quarters with each other and in great numbers and service them and service their needs. And a city starts sometimes from just a few people, very few people. One family come, another family come, and pretty soon you have a city, you have a little town. And after a while, it becomes a big city maybe in time, becomes a big city. New Medina, we don't know what's going to happen there. It might expand into a big town. Maybe it'll have as many people in it one day. If you could expand, buy more land, keep expanding, it'll have as many people in it as Hattiesburg has in it right now. Who knows? That could happen possibly. And you don't have to have it all right there, because there are some cases or situations where towns are not all joining. They have a piece of land here, and then they're separated for a distance, and there's more land, but it all belongs to that town. You see, all under that town, all under that government, that local or city government. So that can happen. It can easily happen. The topic is, what we're addressing, is community growth and development in obedience to God. The Prophet Muhammad, how did he begin to establish this new society? He used the Word of God. The Word of God was his guide. The Word of God was his guide. And for us as Muslims, our first importance should be on following the Quran to develop our community, to have our community plan. Our community plan should not be written before we have good minds and good brains and good people who can look in the Quran and coach us and advise us, counsel us, so that we don't develop something that will be rejected by Islam or rejected by God, our God, Allah. So this is how it should be done. And the Prophet is a living model in history. In history, he's a living example, a living demonstrator, a living model of how we should proceed to actually bring that to life, to bring it to life, to realize it. The Prophet began by putting his emphasis on literacy, and education. Literacy and education. The first words of the Quran, the first words from God to Muhammad, peace be upon him, was read. And he replied to God, the angel was the medium bringing the message, words from God, read. And the Prophet replied, I am not one who can read. And the command came again to the Prophet, read. And he replied again, I am not one who can read. And for a third time it came, and the third time it says, read in the name of your Lord or your guardian evolver. Of course, it doesn't mean it's actually the same thing as Lord, but for want of a word that could say something, they said the translators translated Rabb, the word is Rabb in English, Lord, because the people who followed, the Christians who followed the Jewish people, they translated Lord, that rabbis used to be called Lord, rabbis, and the Rabboni as the derivatives of that Rabbi, and it means Lord, or my Lord. So they followed that and they said Lord. But Lord, the meaning of Lord has changed from those times till now. We have the Lords of London, and they are political bosses, right? They are political officials. They're called the Lords of London, the political officials. So this word has changed its meaning, and so that's why in the commentary of the Quran, where explanation is given, further meaning, explanation is given, or further meaning is given, the translator attempts to explain what the Rab means more. And they explain it as meaning one who is responsible for something existing, one who is responsible for something existing, and then also provides the care for that thing that they're responsible for, so that that thing progresses, grows, develops, matures as it should develop or mature until it becomes fully matured for its responsibility, for its responsibility. So everything in creation, all matter, is evolved. All matter is brought from simpler state to its final state, to its most developed state. All matter, all things, including man, life, all everything. So this God that is responsible for the existence of things, he is the one who designed these things to grow and develop until they reach the final state for their existence, the final development for their growth, the final end for their growth and development. So he's the one who, even after that, if that existing thing, especially a human being, needs him, he will come to the rescue. So he's never out of reach. He's never away, too far away, to know what is happening to his creation. And he will, when needed, when it's necessary, he will come to the aid of the creation, even after you have become grown and think you know everything and think you're your own boss and think you don't have a God over you. You get in too much trouble, that same God will come and try to get you back on the right path. Wonderful God. This is the Lord. This is Rab. And he is Lord of all the world. Lord of all the world. But look how this language was given to Muhammad, the first words of God to Muhammad. Read in the name, Bismi, read in the name of your Lord. But it didn't say, read in the name of your Lord, Allah. The first words of revelation did not give Muhammad the name, the proper name of God, Allah, the full, the complete name of God that holds all the meanings, all the names, all the attributes, all the names. He wasn't given that. He said, read in the name of your Lord who created. So the first understanding perception of God, a concept for God that Muhammad received was God as the creator. God as the creator. Iqra bismi rabbuka alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Who created. When this was read to Muhammad, Muhammad was able to read. That enabled Muhammad to read. So for the third time, it wasn't just read, but it said, read in the name of your Lord who created. And then Muhammad began reading. So it was something about introducing God as the creator and instructing Muhammad to read that enabled Muhammad to begin reading. From that time, he began reading. Muhammad the prophet. Praise be to Allah, and the peace and blessing be upon Muhammad the prophet. Now, why am I saying this? I am saying this to give you my position or my opinion. My position or my opinion is this, that if we want to make great progress, progress for having the, that will enable us to have the growth and development and the life, the destiny, or the fulfillment of life for us on this earth that we want, because our nature urges us to have that. If we are to have that, we are to understand this real world and its relationship with its designer. It didn't design itself. God designed it. It didn't plan itself. God planned this creation. So we need that. We need that understanding. We need to understand God as the creator, the one that did all of this, and as the Lord who takes things and cares for it, designed for it, its growth, its maturity, and then takes care of it to see that it realizes the fulfillment of its life plan, the plan for its life, that it realizes the fulfillment of the plan for its life. So the plan for man's life is to be able to manage life in community. To be able to manage life in community. And that's why Allah says to us, am I with you? Are you with me? I hope so. I'm with you. I'm straining like hell to be with you. Yes. So that's why God tells us in the beginning of the creation how we were created, how the first people were put here. God gives us a picture of what? Man and woman having children. The Christian world says Adam and Eve. We say Adam and his mate. And some Muslims say Eve. They call her Hawa.
Ahava.
A man and his wife, a man and his woman, or a husband and his wife, having children. That's how it all started. And God says, and from them came many children spread far, near and far abroad. So God is telling us that we are a family. That's what God is saying. That the human people, all taken all together, we are a family with two first parents. And if we are family, what does that suggest to any family? We live together. We're supposed to live together. We're supposed to live for each other. That's what it's saying. A family. That the whole the lot of people on this earth, the total community and number of people on this earth, are really one family from one ancestor. And that we should be as a family. We should care about each other. We should want to live together. We should want to see all the members of the family in a good state and having a good future. That's how the good family is. And what we have is not mine or mine's and my brother's. What we have belongs to the family. Belongs to the family. And when the old die off, they're supposed to pass it on so the young inherit from them. This is traditional, this is the traditional behavior of good families. Am I right or wrong? See? So this is what God, so when God is telling us this, he's telling us how to have life on this earth in community. So if we have these sensitivities, we can make a lot of progress. But if we go and just want to have community life, we want to build a town, and all we're thinking about is nice streets, nice living quarters, nice stores providing us our needs and whatever. If we're just thinking like that of the city in its own limits, the city itself in its own limits, but we're not thinking of the human life that requires the city, that eventually requisitions are asked for city. For when I'm saying city now, I'm saying for a organized society. Asking for an organized society where we won't be in conflict with each other, where we won't be doing things haphazardly, where we won't have a red light on a four-way highway, a two-lane highway, and nothing but a slow-down sign on a six-lane highway that's interrupted by streets every four or five blocks apart. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you don't have somebody agreeing to how this is going to be done, we'll design that town to finish us off. Yeah. It'll be designed to make us have accidents and kill up each other and be crazy or to go crazy. Yeah. So we have to have a sense of order. A sense of order, rule, law for the whole. So this is what God wants us to know. And in a family, a good family, that's what you have. You have a mother responsible for the home, the house, household, responsible for the little children, and have a father she can consult. If he has more to offer for the home than she has, she consults him. But his main job is to go outside and seek more support for that home. His main job is to be a field man, not a domesticated man, a field man. He's supposed to be going out to get more support for that home. Yes. So this is what we want for the society, And again, the emphasis is on education, because the more your mind develops, the more your whole world can develop. The smaller your mind, the smaller your world going to be. So education is the number one priority. Education, respecting God who provided it all. He provided everything. All the knowledge provided by God. We can't get any knowledge except from that God did. God did this earth, he made it. God did the sky, he made it. God did the living things and the dead things, the inanimate things, the rocks and the stones and everything, the rivers, the waters, the oil that flowed underneath the soil, everything. God did it. And if we're going to have any knowledge, including us, God did us. If you're going to have any knowledge, you have to look for it in what God did. And that's what God means when he said to Muhammad. That's what Muhammad grasped. When God said, read, he kept saying, I can't read. I don't know what you're talking about, God. But when God said, read in the name of your Lord, Muhammad spoke Arabic. Nobody had to explain to him what Lord means. Rabb. Nobody had to explain to Muhammad what Rabb meant because he spoke that. That was his language. He was an Arab. So when God said to him, read in the name of your Rabb who created, then Muhammad understood what God meant. That I am to respect the God that made everything, me and everything else, and I am to read what he did. Hey, are you with me? I am to read what he did. That's the beginning of science. That's the beginning of science. That's the beginning of a scientific attitude and a scientific approach. When you look at the external world and yourself as part of the external world, as in the makeup too of the external world, when you look at that as something that you should read, what is another word for read? Study to find the communication, the exact communication that's in that thing you're studying. God created everything to communicate what it has to the intellect of man. I should repeat that. You got to get that. God created everything to communicate what it possesses, what it has, to the intellect of the human being. Did you get it? Maybe you need it three times like Muhammad got it. God made you and everything you visualize or cannot visualize, but it exists. God made it. Made it to communicate to your mind, to your rational thinking mind, what it holds, what it possesses for your benefit, for human benefit. سَخَرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And he made to be of use to you in your society, in your community, in your life. Everything you can visualize in heaven and on earth, this is a God. So if we have leaders in education, if we have leaders in industry and science, we have to organize. Muhammad the prophet is called a man like Moses, peace be on the two of them. Moses too was not educated. Moses said, oh God, relieved, untie the knot in my tongue. That meant that he was not educated, so he could not speak, articulate. He could not speak knowledge and wisdom. He was not schooled for that. So he said, God, oh God, untie the knot in my tongue. Muhammad too couldn't read. Same, in a way of saying the same thing. And what did God do with Moses? Peace be upon him. God gave Moses the enlightenment on the Mount of Sinai, to the Sinin in the Quran. He gave him the enlightenment, and he came down with it. And what did he do? First thing he did, he gave the people law for their behavior so they could have a peaceful society, an orderly society, where citizens wouldn't be fearing what another citizen would do. The law, we say. But after that, what did he do? He then called for the people, the leaders, the professional people of his society. He called for the doctors. He wanted the doctors. He wanted the lawyers. He wanted the musicians. He wanted the iron workers. He wanted all of these people to come together. And then he started to tell them how he wanted the new world, the new society, to operate.
You be responsible for this. You be responsible for that. You all are under one law. Same thing Muhammad did. Same thing we have to do. If we want to see growth and development for our vision of community life in America, neighborhoods, Muslim neighborhoods, and a Muslim population living the same way, no matter where you find it. If you go to Los Angeles, if you go to Canada, out of the United States, or you come to Mississippi, to Hattiesburg, or you go to Chicago, wherever you go, you see the Muslim neighborhood looking the same. Same design, same pattern, same behavior, same permission, permissible and not permissible, right? The same halal and haram, the same halal and haram. If this thing is wrong in this neighborhood for Muslim, it'll be wrong in the neighborhood 2,000 miles away in Los Angeles from Chicago, 2,000 miles. That's what Nat Cole said, 2,000 miles all the way on Route 66. So you'll find it's the same everywhere. This is what we want. If we're going to have that, then we have to do the second thing. Don't just take the Quran and take the aqidah and the guidance, that the knowledge that is in the religion. That's not enough. You need the leaders. You have to find leaders, organize leaders, and hold them responsible for their area of knowledge and experience and expertise. This calls for agreement, cooperation, unity. That's why God says, and your community is one united community, and I am your Lord, therefore obey me. أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُونَ. This is your community. It is one, they say one community. It means more than that. It means one united community. It is a united community. That's what the one means for the community. This your community is a united community. The founding fathers studied this language and they said, we want a United States. It wasn't existing before the Quran, this idea. Greeks had nation states and they were striving for unity because they didn't use that language. It was the Quran that first used that language for society, United States. This your community is Ummatan Wahida, is a united community. Wa ana rabbukum, and I am your Lord. Don't forget what Lord means now. I am your Lord. I am the one responsible for your existence. I am the one responsible for the design for your growth and maturity. I have designed where your life can go or where you can take it. I have designed it. That's God. And I'm the one watching you. And I will come to your rescue when you can't help yourself. And I'm going to see you reach the destination. I'm going to care for you all.